Open your King James Bible to 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 1 for study number 03 today, please. Now, this 15-minute audio Bible study commentary is titled 1 John Study 03-John the Pen Man. Our text verse is found in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us divine wisdom today as we speak and proclaim the word of God. Help us, Lord, to lift up and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us, Lord, to touch the hearts of the people who are listening. Now, Lord, we don't have, Lord, our eyes set on any congregation. But, Lord, you know where they are, scattered out around the world. And I pray, God, that you'll draw their hearts to the word of God. May the word of God draw close to them. And I pray today, God, you'll speak to that that's nearest hell. Convict that of their sin that need to be saved. And that's out of the will of God. Lord, you'll touch them. I pray you'd open my lips to speak as I wish I had when I was standing in the judgment bar of God. Have thine own way. We commit it all to the blessed Holy Ghost today. Use us, speak through us and to us today. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. This 15-minute Bible study audio commentary titled 03-John the Pen Man, our writer of 1 John, is taught with the thought of being a help and a strength to those who are born again and to give spiritual light to those who are in darkness concerning the eternal destiny of their soul. Our thrust is to educate the child of God in the Word of God that they may be built up in the most holy faith and become a dedicated worker in the service of the Lord, and to bring lost souls to the knowledge of the Savior, and to uplift Christ in their daily life as an example of the grace of God. Now, this world needs to see some dedicated and consecrated saints of God living a serious life for God before them and setting an example of what a real Christian is. There's so much put on religion and hypocrisy in the realms of all religious and denominations in our land today. These religions are destroying the lives of men and women. The lost are unbelievers, deserve to see and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them by the word and deed, and see it practiced before them. Now, John, sometimes called by some as John the Divine, and one of the 12 apostles, is the writer of the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John was written from Ephesus around about 90 A.D. It contains 5 chapters with 105 verses and 2,523 words. You can count them to check me out. It's a book on the practical teachings and the love of God and Christian living. It also teaches how we as Christians should conduct ourselves in this present evil, ungodly world. To study it and to meditate on the truths of the pages of 1 John will strengthen you. It will build you up in the faith, and it will encourage your heart if you take it to heart and allow it to mold your character and your testimony. I'll guarantee you it'll be a help. John the apostle and writer is now getting to be an old man here. And he is the last of the living eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the other original 11 disciples and apostles are gone. They have passed off the scene. John is left alone now. He was the last to leave the scene of a great ministry. He's about to leave the scene of time himself and has given us some important truths to sustain us in the days ahead. This book starts with a testimony of what he has experienced in his own personal life concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior. John tells of what he has seen with his own eyes, and what he's heard with his own ears, and what he's touched with his own personal hands. This book of 1 John is not a hearsay book or a secular writing to entertain or try to impress the minds of men, but they are divine words recorded under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to touch the hearts and souls of men in order to bring them into a closer relationship with the Savior. John has been around for a long time and he's seen many things in his course of ministry. John has grown old in the ministry. He's the only disciple apostle that lived and died with and because of old age. It is said that he died a natural death. Now, John's life is filled with the thoughts of what he has experienced in his personal walk and with his personal talk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's reminiscing here over the 3.5 years of ministry he has had with the Lamb of God. I can only imagine what was going through his mind here in this first verse of this first epistle. He had a lot to think on and much to be proud of. He remembered many miracles and instances that he would never forget that he had seen change the lives of so many forever and his own life as well. I feel John was a very emotional man while he was thinking on these things. John was the most loving and the most kind man of all the apostles, or at least to my thinking, and from the evidence I find from the Word of God. John is now seeing things that have already started to come into the church that is not pleasing unto the Lord. Even at the young stage of the church, people were denying that Jesus was real and not the only begotten Son of God. They denied that he was God in the flesh. John was troubled by these things. John is no other apostle taught and fought for the doctrine of the incarnation of Jesus Christ being God in the flesh. The false cults and the false religious were trying to get into the church to chip away its foundation. So through the Holy Ghost, John is trying to make the church aware of the problems and ward off the attacks of Satan. John is concerned about anything or anyone who would take the church away from the truth or take the truth away from the church. These things are burning and burdening his heart here. These things likewise should trouble our souls in this day as well. Satan has an all-out war against truth in these days as never before. May God help us to stand for the truth as we have never stood. I pray, God help us. John is one of the first disciples called in the ministry of Jesus. We'll look at the little history of this man, John, from the Scriptures. Look in Luke chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. The Bible said, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." I want to point out a couple of things out of this verse. Number one, in verse 10 of this 5th chapter of John, we find James and John, the sons of Zebedee. We also find Simon, which is called Peter or Cephas or Simon Peter, as he's called many other places. We see that James and John are brothers, and they are the sons of Zebedee, who also were fishermen. As a matter of fact, all these are fishermen. This John is our pen man, or the writer for the book of 1 John. Now, number two, in verse 11, we find a tremendous truth that we need to pay attention to. They forsook all and followed him. I want to point out two things about this. First, they forsook all. It is good to follow Jesus, but it will be useless unless we follow all and forsake all and then follow him with all our heart. We must give up everything and follow him. Too many today are trying to hold on to the world with one hand and serve the Lord with the other. This will not work. So our pen man here, or the writer, is a surrendered man with only one thing on his heart, and that is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart. Second, we see in this verse 10 that John now has a new occupation. Henceforth, the Bible said, thou shalt catch men. He is to fish for men from now on. He is soon to be in the church instead of a ship and fish in the sea of the world instead of the sea of Galilee. He is to use the gospel of Jesus Christ as his bait. He has been placed into the realm of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. His occupation has changed tremendously from that day onward, and we can see the effects of it. We also find that James, John, and Peter were involved with the Lord more than all the other disciples were. I call these the inner circle disciples. They were always with the Lord and always involved with the Lord. I believe they were more available to be used of the Lord. That's the reason they were used tremendously in the Lord's ministry. In Matthew chapter 17 in verse 1, these three appeared on the mountain of transfiguration with the Lord. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 38, we find that Jesus took them further into the Garden of Gethsemane than he did the other disciples. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 37, Jesus did not allow any of the other disciples to follow him but these three. So our pen man or writer of this epistle is a close follower and a surrendered follower of the Lord Jesus. Now John, of all these three, had an even closer place with the Savior. In John chapter 19 and verse 26, Jesus refers to John as the one whom he loved. In John 21:20, John is referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved, and the one which also leaned on his breast at supper. Now John writes of love throughout his books. He writes of the loving He writes of loving the Lord Jesus Christ, of loving the brethren, of loving the church, and of loving the lost. John sets an example of how a child of God should love the Lord. Jesus left the care of his mother into the hands of John in John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Now John does not mention his own name in his writings of the five books except in the book of Revelation. John followed Jesus closely. John actually followed Jesus closer than the other disciples. He is the only one recorded to be at the foot of the cross while Christ was being crucified. All the other disciples had scattered, and some were following afar off, while others were not even there, or they were not very near, if they were. The closer we follow Jesus, the more we become like him. The farther we get from him, the colder we become, and the less like Jesus we are. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul classified James, Cephas, who is Peter, and John as pillars. We can build on pillars. John started off at a young age and lived to die a natural death as an old man. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." These three, as we have called the inner circle disciples, have given us great truths to build our lives upon. No wonder they're called the pillars. Pillars are foundations that will hold up the rest of our lives. The word pillar means supports or mainstays. Jesus is our foundation, and these disciples built their lives upon him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now we'll look at the early years of the Apostle John. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 17, James and John are called the sons of thunder. They had stormy tempers in their early lives. In Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56, James and John were ready to send fire on those who did not receive the Lord Jesus, and the Lord had to rebuke them. They both were quick to judgment. In Mark chapter 9, in verse number 38, John forbid a man casting out devils, and the Lord had to instruct him. He was intolerant of fellow believers many times. In Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 40, James and John were selfish as to their wants. John was taught at the feet of Jesus, the best and greatest teacher, the teacher of all teachers. By the time John writes these books, though, he has seasoned out, and he's a matured man in the Lord, and he has great compassion. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the penman or the writer of the epistle of 1 John. Now, we hope this study, 03, John the penman, has blessed and helped you. May God honor His Word in your life and help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in order that you may be what God desires you to be for His glory. My prayer is, God bless you. Amen and amen.